Not all traditions have always celebrated Advent. Traditionally, the Baptist Church, until a number of decades ago, didn't celebrate Advent. It was kind of sectioned off and set aside for, well, other denominations do that. And even still, I'll hear questions on why do we light an Advent candle and why do we. One of the things that I thoroughly enjoy is an Advent calendar because it keeps me looking toward that day. Tomorrow, when I come in, I'll set up my manger in my office, but it won't have the child Jesus in it yet because he's not here yet. Advent is a time of preparing our hearts for that. Until Christmas Eve, I will not place the infant in the manger. And until January 6, I won't place the wise men there. Because the wise men didn't come until 3 years later, about 2 or 3 years later. They did not come to see Jesus in the manger. If you read your scriptures, it says that they came to see a child, not a baby. They came much later. So traditionally, I only set things out piece by piece because it keeps me looking toward. It keeps me looking towards what does it mean that Jesus came into this world? We live on this side of that, but there were many people who lived lives of faith on the other side of God coming into this world as a baby. I would encourage you to take some time to really think about what does it mean that the God who made 150 to 60 billion universes came as a baby, needing our help? I know some of you might ask me, did the child Jesus cry? I think so. Did he struggle at times with how things were going on? The way I read the Gospels, yes. He struggled because people didn't understand. But one of the exciting things is that Christ has come and that Christ has died for me, that I might have a relationship with God. So the time of Advent is preparing my heart again to accept what God did by the coming of a child, by the coming of one who needed help, by the coming of one who was born in a very smelly place. God didn't come to be born in a palace. God was born among the stalls of all the animals. But it's also a time for me to think about and to remember that Jesus said he will come again. So it's Advent for me to prepare my heart to get ready again for what God did in coming as a baby. But it's also Advent in me looking ahead for what is going to happen one day. When Jesus comes again and I get to see my Savior face to face. One of the first songs that I learned how to sing in the church was that. Face to face with my Lord Jesus. I can't imagine what that day will be like. And Paul writes this encouraging prayer right at the beginning of his letter to the Corinthian church, all about both of these things, about the Christ who has already come and the Christ who will come. He writes both of these things in a very short passage, but he writes it to bring them encouragement. Now, maybe I need to tell you a little bit about the Corinthian church, though. They would not have been known as the best church on the street. They wouldn't have been. If you read both of Paul's letters, and there are some scholars that think this is really three or four letters that have been put together in two books, Paul does not have very encouraging things to always say to them. He tells them how bad a church they are and what they're doing wrong. Can you imagine? We got a letter that we want to stand up here at the pulpit and read from Paul. He sent it to us here at the church. And could you imagine starting to read this and getting into some of the passages where he basically tells them, stop being like the world and be like Christians. He's telling the people in the church. You see, when they had the Lord's Supper, they let all the rich people eat first. And if anything was left over, then the poor people could have something from the Lord's Supper. That's just one of the things he talks to them about in those two books that we have, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Like I said, there may be three or four letters that have been put together through Paul's time, because there seems to be some division in there and things don't always flow right. But Paul wants them to understand this in his prayer. The prayer that he prays, he wants them to understand that the coming of Jesus Christ brought grace to every person. It brought grace to every person. It brought the very riches of God to every person. It doesn't matter whether they're following God. It doesn't matter whether they've accepted Jesus Christ yet or not. God has, through Jesus Christ, brought God's riches to every person in this world, no matter which side of the divide they stand on, no matter whether you think they're good people or not. Both sides, in Israel and Gaza right now, Jesus Christ came to bring grace to. Both sides, in the Ukraine and Russia, Jesus Christ came to bring grace to them. It doesn't matter whether they're people living in the light or whether they're people living in the dark. God brought, through Jesus Christ, grace to every person. That's the overabundance of blessings that God wants to. I believe it's in Ephesians that Paul talks about. God pours grace upon us over and over and over again to the point that it's overflowing, overabundant. It's more than we'll ever need. Think about that. And you know what that tells me? That tells me how much God loves me and how much God loves you. Because God continues to pour out that grace upon us, whether we recognize it or not. Jesus Christ came that we could have that grace. Now, this next statement should not be surprising to you from me. We should loudly thank God for this grace. Loudly. Well, a couple of people got it. We should loudly thank God for this grace. Amen. You see, this world needs to know that. And if we walk out and whisper it, in all the noise and the chaos that's going on, how will they hear? If you were walking the streets of Gaza today, with the bombs coming down again, and you whispered about Jesus Christ and grace, who would hear it? If you were walking the streets in the Ukraine, with all that's going on in there, do you remember there's still a war there? The news has almost stopped reporting it because of what's happening in Israel and Gaza. It's still happening. And if you whispered the grace of Jesus Christ there, who would hear it? Folks, we need to be loud about it. We need to let folks know that God has brought this grace to every person in the world, and that it's available for them. All they've got to do is be able to say, Lord, I need it. That's all they got to do. Lord, I need the grace that you have. Now, this grace enriches those who believe in the work of Jesus Christ, believe in the work that Jesus Christ has done for them. It enriches people. It overwhelms. It enriches. Do you understand what that is? I listened to a gentleman on YouTube that solves puzzles. And he wishes people birthdays. And I really, really like his idea. First off, his idea is you got to have chocolate cake for your birthday. Amen. Oh, I got some amens for that one, huh? Now, his second idea is you have to have the proper ratio of icing to cake. And for him, the proper ratio of icing to cake is 1:1. Now, is that not enriched? 1:1? Is that not over and above and beyond, I think, maybe? But 1:1, that's a great ratio. I'm getting to like that. And I mean, he talks about it. He talks about it every day because he does a video every day solving puzzles. And he's always wishing people happy birthday. And he says, well, I sure hope you get to have some chocolate cake today with the proper ratio. Sometimes he doesn't tell you what it is. But that's enriched. God's grace is that way. It's overwhelming above and beyond. I know some of you are sitting there going, that's too much icing. I don't know how you have that definition. I really don't. But you know what? God's grace, I want that much. Maybe I want 2:1 or 3:1 or 4:1 for God's. What about you? You see, that grace enriches us. That grace helps us. This is what it means that Christ has come. Christ has come that we might have this grace and be so overpoweringly enriched. Think about that. Are you living life that way? Or are you living life thinking you just got a cracker with maybe a little bit of butter on it as grace from God? There's nothing wrong with that either. Don't get me wrong. Okay? A stick of butter and a sleeve of crackers. That's a great snack. But you know what? God's grace is so much more, isn't it? And I see so many Christians, that's all they're hoping for each day is one more cracker instead of chocolate cake. Are you being enriched by that grace that God has? I mean, it all happened because of what Jesus has done for us. Do you believe that Jesus came and lived here upon this earth? Do you believe that he walked and that he talked, that he taught, that he healed, that he performed miracles, that he shared with people what God really wants from us in a way that we could understand? And even though he didn't want to, he died on the cross for you. He didn't want to. Matter of fact, he prayed for it not to happen. Go and read that. He prayed that God would make it possible some other way than him going to the cross. In the videos that we're watching for how to pray, Pete Gregg says that when Jesus prayed that prayer, he was unbiblical. Lord, I don't want to go to the cross. Because that was the plan all along, wasn't it? For him to die on the cross, to be a sacrifice for our sins. And he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane 3 times, Lord, I do not want to do it. Please take this cup from me. But wait a minute, that was the plan the whole time, wasn't it? God did that for you. God did that for me. That God could pour grace on us to enrich us in incredible ways. We are enriched with speech, knowledge, and spiritual gifts. Speech, knowledge, and spiritual gifts. When I think about this speech one, I always go back to Exodus chapter 3 and chapter 4. Go back and read that very carefully. That's Moses in the burning bush. Moses is told by God, I want you to go talk to Pharaoh about letting my people go. And you know what Moses says? Moses says, I'm not a good speaker. Can't do it. Okay, the stuttering's not in the Bible. But Moses did tell God, I'm not a good speaker. You picked the wrong person. And God says, didn't I make your mouth? Didn't I make your tongue? You can speak. And Moses again says, no, I can't. Never took that public speaking class in high school like I was supposed to. I skipped out on it. You know what? God has given you the ability to talk about the grace of Jesus Christ. God has given you that ability. You can speak. I know somebody's going to say, but Pastor, people will know I'm a Christian by watching me. I don't need to tell them. So here's what I ask you. If that's true, then why did Jesus speak about it? Wouldn't he be the most wonderful example of somebody could watch him and get it? And he still spoke about it. He felt the need to speak up about it and let folks know. You can speak. There's not a person in this room that can't preach a sermon. Listen very carefully. There's not a person in this room that can't preach a sermon. Do you know what a definition of a sermon is? One beggar telling other beggars where to find food. Can you not tell people how to find Jesus Christ? And what that meant to you? Knowledge, spiritual gifts. We have all the spiritual gifts in this church we need. All of them. For what God is asking us to do, we have every gift we need. And grace empowers those gifts. Now the people have got to agree to use them. Grace empowers those gifts. Now you've got to use them. Those who walk closely with Jesus Christ, the scripture says, will be kept firm and presented as blameless at the second coming. I don't know about you, but to be presented before God as blameless at the second coming? Come on, I know what I've done. Are you willing to admit what you've done? I know how I treated my brother and sister growing up. I know how I treated some other people in my teenage years. And this says, if I believe in Jesus Christ and I walk closely with Christ and allow that grace to saturate me and enrich me, I'll be kept firm as I walk in this world and I'll be presented before God as blameless at the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's more than a get-out-of-jail-free card, isn't it? That's way more than the get-out-of-jail-free card. By the way, I got one of those. I don't think I got it in my wallet right now. I got one that says to get out of meetings for clergy only. Sometimes I need that. Today I'm going to use my get-out-of-meetings-free card. Folks, as grace enriches you with all spiritual things, will you walk closer in step with Jesus Christ? As grace enriches you, will you walk closer in step with Jesus Christ? Because the grace is there already. The grace is being poured into your life at this moment. Will you access that power that God is pouring into you so that you can speak, so that you can have knowledge and wisdom, so that you can use the spiritual gifts that God has given you? As that grace is pouring into you, will you walk closer with Jesus Christ? Will you? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for Paul. If we read through the rest of this letter, he has quite a hard words for the Corinthian church. But Lord, he starts out with a deep understanding of how rich your grace is and how much it can help us to walk the spiritual life that you have for us. So Lord, help us. Help us that we might truly live the life that you have for us and know the abundance of blessings and grace that you want to pour upon us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.